Romans 10, verse 13. Just one thing I want to say, when we went to the mission field out there in Clayton, there was this church, 3C, Circle Up Community Church. They're all in Texas. And then the Brush Arbor Cowboy Church out of Illinois, where we've been going the last 3 years, they met us there. So we had quite a mix of people. And the crowds, as everybody was saying, wasn't great. We didn't have overabundance of people. But one of the things I've learned in mission work is before you can have a harvest, somebody's got to break the ground, somebody's got to plant the seed, somebody's got to water the seed. So I feel like this year was breaking ground, and the church there in Clayton thanked me numerous times on the last day of how appreciative they were of us coming out there and sharing with them and, you know, participating and helping them. And so anyway, I think if nothing else, we come alongside a sister church and encourage them to get busy for the kingdom of God. Amen. So here, let's look, Romans 10, verse 13. It says this right here: "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So it identifies, and it starts out this verse, "for everyone." What does that mean? Back up to verse 12. "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him." So when verse 13 says "for everyone," verse 12 is identifying that there is no distinction to everyone. So whomever wants to call upon the Lord, there's no specification, so it doesn't matter what color your skin is, it doesn't matter what language you speak, it doesn't matter what country you live in, it doesn't even matter what the shape of your head is. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is what he's talking about. So everyone that calls on Jesus, recognizing their sin problem, it's not news. You have a sin problem. I have a sin problem. Everyone has a sin problem. And sin tends to separate us from God. So that sin must be addressed in some fashion. You cannot just say, "I'm going to go to church and forget about sin. I'm going to block it out of my mind. I'm going to be baptized." None of that stuff works. Your only hope in dealing with sin is Jesus. That's it. Jesus is your only hope. He's the one that went to the cross for you, for me. He didn't sin. He went to the cross because we sinned. So everyone who calls on Jesus, asking him to save them from sin, from God's wrath, from hell, from themselves, it says here in verse 13, will be saved. So that's a promise. The Bible gives us this great promise that whomever will call upon the Lord, whomever will turn to him and ask for forgiveness and salvation, he says, will be saved. It's the promise of salvation that he freely gives. He freely gave it to you, and he freely gives it to others. So you and I, all we have to do is share this message with other people. But I don't want you to mistake these as a magical words or some secret formula or something like that. When you call upon the Lord, what he is talking about, it is more than words, but it comes with humility, it comes with faith, it comes with belief, it comes with submission, it comes with surrender. So in other words, as Travis, who went with us from Belton, he's part of the Hope Center, Travis said he had to get to the bottom of the barrel before he could ever turn to Jesus. And his bottom of the barrel was worse than some others' bottom of the barrel, so to speak. So in other words, that you have to be at a point where you recognize sin and you surrender and you submit to the Lordship of Jesus. It's not a matter of just saying, "Jesus, I want to take you as my Savior," and then you continue living your life however you choose to live. That's not what he's saying. So all of this comes with humility, faith, belief, submission, and surrender. So now if we believe verse 13 to be true, Then that leads us to verse 14 that says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him on whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? So here he asked some questions. If we believe verse 13 to be true, whomever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How are they going to call on the one whom they have not believed? Do you realize that there are still people in our world today who have never heard the name Jesus? And that even happens in America. I encountered a guy one time right here in Texas. He'd never even heard the name Jesus. There are still people in the world who haven't heard Jesus, heard of Jesus. So as long as there's people there who haven't heard of Jesus, that means Christians still have work to do to share the gospel with them. And if you say, I don't know how to share the gospel, that's okay. You can share your story. How did you come to know Jesus? How did you meet Jesus? What was your life like? So you can still share your story with them. So how are they going to call on the one whom they haven't heard of? How are they going to believe in the one they've never heard? Yes, you and I have to go tell them because maybe they haven't heard, or this is probably more common, is they've heard the wrong things about Jesus. You know, I think the devil planned it that way. I think the devil said, well, if they're going to hear about Jesus, let's just make sure they hear about the wrong Jesus. Or let's just twist it up so that they'll believe something that's not really true. So that's you and I, all Christians, all believers' responsibility is to go forth and tell them about Jesus. And then he says also, how are they going to hear without someone preaching to them? Have you ever thought about preaching? One guy standing up here spitting and shouting and long-winded. You know, isn't there a better way to do that? One time when I was pastoring over in Proctor, I was the leader of the Comanche Fellowship Baptist Association there. And we were part of the three groups who were together, and our director of missions was a friend of mine. And so one day we were in this meeting, and all these pastors started discussing it, saying, I think preaching is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of. I think in our church, we're just going to stop preaching. And we're sitting there listening to it. Well, this friend of mine, the director of missions, he said, are you kidding me right now? They said, no, it's a waste of time. We can use that time and do far greater than preaching. He said, you've got to preach. And he used this verse, which I'm going to share with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23 tells us this. It says right here, get to it. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So here it says very, very plainly that God uses the things that seem foolish in order to share his truth, which is preaching. That's what it's talking about. But notice what he said here, that every time somebody preaches the gospel, some people believe, some people stumble over the gospel and they don't believe. So every time the gospel goes forth, it's giving someone an opportunity to come to Jesus. Or it's giving them an opportunity to reject Jesus. Either way, God is using the preaching of the gospel for his glory and honor, because one of these days, those who don't believe, which becomes a matter of prayer on our part, but those who don't believe, if they step into eternity without Jesus, they're going to be without excuse. Because God's going to say, you remember all them guys that preached to you? They knocked on your door and they told you about Jesus. You had opportunities. You had the chance. So those who don't believe becomes a matter of prayer for us. and those who do believe, then we're to take them on under our wing and begin to share how to live the life that God intends for them to live. So either way, we preach the gospel, and if someone is not sent, then what? Look at verse 15. He says this, "How are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." So if they're not sent, then what happens? Nothing happens. God has to raise up somebody and get them out there. So when we went out here on the mission field, we already had done a little test drive out there. Justin, myself, and Frank Woolley went over there to check it out. And as the first thing we noticed is there's new shops popped up in town where they're selling marijuana. And evidently that's a big hit for those who like to smoke marijuana, because they're all over town, and there's people around town, and you encounter them, and so that's a big deal. And the whole culture is just kind of slowly deteriorating, and the church is, as was mentioned, is having difficulty because of resources and people in order to deal with this. So hopefully we were able to help them. But if you want them to hear, they have to have someone tell them the gospel. So what's going to happen if they're not sent? Someone has to be sent. That's why we have missionaries all over the world. That's why we send out mission teams. That's why we go to areas in order to tell them about Jesus. And it says, unless they are sent, what will happen? Lost people will remain lost. People dying without Jesus go to hell. That's a reality. People who die without Jesus don't make it to heaven. We like to think in our world today that everyone's going to go to heaven. Somebody dies and immediately they put on Facebook, "I will see you when we get to heaven." And you're wondering, did they really make it to heaven? I don't know. But not everybody is going to make it to heaven. Not everybody is going to be saved. So unless you're sent, lost people remain lost. He says here, it is written in verse 15. This is Isaiah 52:7. He's basically telling us what Isaiah said. It says, it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Those who take time to go out and share the gospel with somebody, to God, number one, that is a beautiful thing, because we are told all through the Gospels and in Acts to go forth and tell people about Jesus. We are commanded to go make disciples. So whenever we step into obedience to do that, number one, that is a beautiful thing to God, that His children are actually listening and doing what He wants them to do. Just as though you had children and they do what you want them to do, it becomes beautiful in your sight and you're pleased. Second thing is, not only is it beautiful in God's sight, but to those being saved, you become a beautiful person to them as well. They respect you. They love you. You took time to share Jesus with them. You took time to show them the way. So you become an important part of their life. So I think that's what Isaiah is pointing out to us here, is it is beautiful, a beautiful thing when you preach the good news. Verse 16, he says this, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed us and heard from us? They have not all obeyed. Fact number one, not everyone is going to be saved. You can pray for them. Fact number two, not everyone will be saved, but they'll be without excuse. So even if they don't believe, they're going to be without excuse. When they stand before God, they're not going to say, "Hey, I never heard. Nobody ever told me. You can't hold me for this because I didn't know." The preaching of the gospel leads to their salvation or their rejection. Either way, it is the power of God in order to change lives. So Isaiah says here, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So Isaiah asked the question, who has believed? Well, you know, number one, it is not our responsibility for someone to believe. Here's what the Bible teaches us. Number one, you are to go. Wherever God leads you, you're to go. Number two, you're to share the gospel, the truth of Jesus, as clear as you can. Communicate to them as best as you can the gospel. And then the final thing is, it is God's responsibility whether he is going to save them. Your words won't save them. Your life won't save them. You're just the instrument that God sends to share with them the truth of the gospel. And then it is up to him what he's going to do with that. God may save them. We pray God saves many. But we don't know their hearts. We don't know their motivation. God does. He knows what's going on there. And he may be sending you to share the gospel as an opportunity so that when they end up in heaven or end up in eternity, that he can say, look, you remember that old crazy guy came and shared the gospel with you? You're without excuse. I don't want to hear your excuses. You heard, and you heard plainly. So he may be doing that. I don't know. But as for us, we are to go and we're to share the gospel. Leave the rest up to God. Verse 17 tells us this. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing. I've heard people say all the time that people can just wake up and decide to be saved. Well, if they've never heard the gospel, and it's not just audible words. I don't believe he's telling us that, because you have people who've never heard audible words, but they know sign language. It is coming to understand the gospel. Whether you understand it through words or whether you understand it through sign language or pictures, you come to understand the gospel message. So those who understand, it says here, the words of Christ, so it takes faith for them to be saved. Don't forget that. It takes faith. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So the Bible makes it clear that if you're going to come to God, you must first believe that he is there. You can't just do a shot in the dark and say, I'm going to trust Jesus and hope that gets me there. I don't know if it will or not. That's not faith at all. That's just trying to cover all your bases. You're just trying to make sure that you have that ringer in the corner so that whenever the time comes, maybe he'll jump into action and save you. Faith is knowing without a doubt. And Hebrews 11:1 talks about faith being confidence in something you can't see. So you're confident, even though you can't see Jesus, you're confident that he died on the cross and that was enough to pay for your sins. And because he died on the cross, went to the grave, resurrected, went to heaven, that tells us that God is pleased with that. And faith is, I'm going to put all of my everything, surrender myself, my mind, my will, my body, my emotions, spirit, my soul, all of that I'm going to put in his hands. And I'm going to allow him to take charge of me. That's faith, even when you don't fully understand it. Well, it may not happen immediately, but God can use the preaching of his word. Isaiah 55:11 is a great promise for us. It says this, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purposed, and shall succeed in the thing which I sent it. So God makes a promise. When you share his word, he will accomplish his will with it. What is his will? I've already talked about it. Some may be saved, some may reject, but they're going to be without excuse. God will accomplish his purpose when you send his word. So be faithful to send out his word. On this mission trip we went, And there wasn't a lot of people. The crowds didn't come. So I believe the first day, Dale and Justin jump in the truck and they take off handing out flyers, inviting people. The next day, they decided a bunch of them wanted to ride horses through town. So we did. We take off through town. Boy, that was something else. It's almost like a parade. People were coming out of businesses, watching us go by. They're probably thinking, who in the world are these people? Where did they come from? And anyway, we got opportunities to talk to people, and we would share the gospel as quickly and bestly that we can. We'd leave them tracts. We would invite them. So we were trying to get the word out. And then the next day, there was an invitation. The radio station was right next to the arena. There was an invitation to go to the radio and share what was going on. And the next morning, that morning, they did the radio, and we go out to the arena, started at 9 o'clock. We go out to the arena, and there was a guy out there, someone we hadn't seen. Said, hey, how are you doing? He goes, I'm doing great. He goes, I was driving into town, had the radio on. I heard about it. I come running. Praise God. Somebody heard, and they come. And so we talked to him for a little bit. But you know what? It's mainly sharing the gospel. And I remember one day Trey went out to the arena and he said there was someone up in the stands. There was these big grandstands there. Somebody was up in the stands and then they disappeared. And here in a little bit, we get ready to go on this ride through town. And I wasn't even paying attention. We're just riding along. Martin was next to me and he pointed. And I look over and there's this guy laying underneath a picnic table, or cement picnic tables, and he was laying underneath them on the ground, which in my estimation is weird. I'll just tell you, that's weird. Why would you do that? Well, after seeing the town a little bit, we kind of understood. But anyway, Trey went over and talked to him for a little bit. We go on around, we start, you see all kinds of weird stuff out there. Anyway, going around, and we were across the road. There was a little convenience store on the other side. There was some lady jumps out of a car. All I saw was pink hair and pink clothes and everything pink. And I thought, this is pretty strange. So anyway, here a little bit, she starts making her way out. By then, we'd come across the street. We're in the parking lot, all horseback. So I go over, thought, well, let me invite her. And a male was driving, I don't know who that was, but a male. And so I go over there and he opens the door and it brought back a memory. Years ago, I worked on the streets of Fort Worth. And I remember we were down on Rosedale in Fort Worth. And we were at the homeless shelters and we were loading a bus, a church bus. And we were going to pack that church bus with whoever we could get on the bus, take them, have a concert, feed them, and preach to them. And I remember standing out there by that bus on the sidewalk of Rosedale, and all these people come by and inviting them to go. And I look up, and here comes this guy, and his hair is sticking straight up. And I thought, well, that doesn't look very good. And he's walking down the sidewalk, and his eyes are as big as saucers. And I said, hey, man, you want some free food? He goes, yeah! I said, well, get on the bus. Okay. And he runs on the bus, and I saw him. He's just sitting there. Boy, he could not stop moving. I don't know what he was on, but he was on something. Anyway, he went. He heard the message, and we preached to him, prayed for him. Well, while we were in Clayton, as I rode up to that car on my horse, this guy opens the door, and so I start trying to share with him. And remember, there's two or three pot stores around there. And I start sharing with him, and he goes, wow. I said, over here at the ring, really? Man, I'm like, what is going on? Have we done jumped into another time lapse or something? This is weird. But he never did come, but we shared with him. We gave him a tract, and we prayed, just as Isaiah 55:11 says, that God will use that for his glory and honor, and who knows what happens. We might go out there next year, and it may be a completely different place. I pray so. I pray that God would move in a great way. Amen? The main part is you and I are responsible to take the gospel to those who don't have the gospel, wherever that's at. If you're not doing that, you need to be doing that. If you need help with it, let us know. We can help with that. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much. We're so humbled to be in your service and your use. Pray that you would continue to help us right here in Eastland County as we share the truth of your word with those who need to hear it. We pray, Lord, that you would sweep across our nation, drawing people to you, saving people, turning their lives around. We love you, we praise you, and it's all in Jesus' name. Amen.